Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspire Choices Network, where today I am joined by Martin Palethorpe. Did I say that correctly?
You did, amazingly.
Awesome. Thank you. I really do try and practice. So today, myself and Martin will be talking about when everything falls apart. In today's deeply human episode, Martin is going to share how personal collapse can become the doorway to conscious leadership. Myself and Martin will explore breakdowns as initiations and moments that strip leaders of ego and invite deeper self-awareness, purpose, and presence. Today's conversation is an invitation to reframe crisis, release false identities, and lead from truth rather than survival. Martin is a highly senior executive coach with 25 years working with thousands of leaders across global corporations, fast growing startups and mission-driven businesses. His unique journey from corporate technology executive to entrepreneur, adventurer, and spiritual seeker makes him both relatable and inspiring to leaders navigating today's extremely complex world. So thank you so much for joining me today, Martin. I'm sure that there's a lot more to your story than what I just said. So please share with us and the audience, you know, a little bit more about your journey and the transition to where you are today.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. And I guess my journey has been one of constant evolution and constant unfolding, sometimes as a result of crisis and sometimes just as a result of continuing to explore and question what this life is about. I think the first point came when I was 27. So I was very high achiever, very driven, very focused. It was all about results. And in my early 20s, it became about money and success and promotion. And at 27, I had this sort of what I describe as an early midlife crisis, although it wasn't midlife because I'm now past 54. So, but it was like a crisis going, why am I doing what I'm doing? And it's not like it looks like I'm successful because I keep getting promoted and I'm making some good money, and yet I'm not deeply fulfilled. And I remember lying on my bed one night crying, going, what's the point of this life thing, you know? And so that was the start of the next 29 years of constant evolution, of learning and growing and evolving to be deeply who I'm here to be in this life. From the corporate world of being in sales and then in software and then general management, I sort of reinvented myself as a coach 25, 26 years ago. When really coaching wasn't around that much, 2001 it was. And then there's been a number of ongoing reinventions during that time. I'm going through another one right now where I think it's constantly looking at, for me, it's like, what's driving me? Where am I going and why? What's my motive? What's the story I might be living in? How do I collapse that and find something deeper to guide me and to inspire me?
Mm-hmm. So the beginning of this, I guess, I don't want to call it crisis awareness, but that something needed to collapse in order for something new to be born in emergence. For you, that started around 27. And, you know, when I think sometimes when we think about collapse or crisis, we think that it has to be like a major significant thing for you. Is that what you experienced, or was it just way more subtle than that?
I think that's a great question, because some people rely on having a heart attack, you know, to be the crisis, or, you know, that someone dies or something significant like that. For me, the crisis was just an inner one, which was a lack of being fulfilled. And I experienced a lot of people spend many years not deeply being fulfilled, but just putting up with it. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was enough to tune into this dissatisfaction, this lack of fulfillment, to say, this is a message from inside myself telling me, it's like a flag going, hey, you know, something's wrong, you're not on the right path. And I think I've spent my life, and I'm in the middle of another one right now, is like, you know, like there's a wave inside me going, hang on a second, you need to course correct. And that's where, what I think is what I've been doing.
You know, as you explain that, you know, we're trying to make the distinction. So yes, for some people, it is a major life event that says something's got to change here. But what you described, I think, is far, I don't want to say far more frequent, but I think sometimes the challenge within that is the difference between knowing, okay, this is life challenging you, where there's something that needs to be shifting within you in terms of journey or mindset or whatever the case may be, into, or versus this is just life challenging you and shining you up, for lack of a different way of putting it. And I'm trying to help be succinct for the listeners to help understand like what the difference is, because I feel like there's a very subtle difference between I'm on the right path, I know I'm on the right path, I face challenges and that's okay, I'm still going in the right direction, versus I'm really going in the wrong direction. Does that make sense the way that I'm phrasing that?
Yes, I okay. think let me see if I can sort of dance with that. So I think on the first one you mentioned, there's a deep knowing. Mm. It's like, I know, like you don't have to question, you know, it's like there's certain things we deeply know in our lives. I know that I'm living in the right place right now. I know that what I'm doing is the right thing. I know that I love it. And then there's this other state where like, it's okay, you know, I like it. I like it most of the time, you know, mm-hmm. I like a lot of it, but, and there's less of a knowing with that. There's more mm-hmm. of a kind of acceptance of a mediocre-ness, or a, you know.
Yeah, and thank you for putting it like that, because I'm even, as you're saying that, I'm like, you know what, it almost sounds like I struggle with where I am now, but I know that I'm supposed to be there. I can't explain why I know that. I just know that I'm supposed to be there. And I think sometimes, so for example, this last week, I've been having conversations with my kids about this, and they're all at the beginning of their own spiritual journey. And they're saying to me a lot of what I think people who are just starting to go on that walk are, things like, well, how do I know? And do you have some maybe tips and ideas on how you can begin to peel away the overarching and extremely loud voice of the mind when it tries to keep you rooted in somewhere that's very safe? Because, you know, I found myself saying to them, I'm like, you'll just know. And I said, there's little ways that you can test the theory and begin to build that muscle of trust within yourself, so that you can actually begin to trust that knowing and trust that inside voice. What would maybe be something that you would say to folks that are maybe at the beginning of discovering that?
It's a really great question, because they're kind of both voices in the head, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the lifelong journey is to work out the difference, really. And to there's the voice that, as you're describing it, there's the voice that knows something. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, but I know I'm supposed to. And I would invite people to look at what they deeply know. You know, I deeply know that I love my kids. I deeply know that I'm proud of what I've done, you know, at certain points in my life. It's like unexplainable, like, but look at things that you deeply know. Mm-hmm. And they're not explainable by the rational mind tries to get, you know, why do you love your kids, or, you know, what, yeah, I don't know, but I just do. Mm-hmm. And the rational mind can come in and go, well, I know, you know, so I was, you know, I live in a place called Glastonbury in the UK, which I deeply am supposed to be here right now. It's an amazing place to live. I know that I'm supposed to be here. I love it. And then the rational mind could give you lots of reasons. Well, you know, this and that and the, you know, but it's beyond the rational stuff. It's like, it's something deeper than that. So that's the first point, is like to tune into what you deeply know and increasingly just follow that without the rational mind getting in the way to need to explain it. And then the other voice is often driven by my ego or fear or conditioning, is like, or it needs to explain something. But it's often worried, like, I'm not going to do this because I'm worried about this or I'm worried about that. And we can see these two, we can sort of write them down actually on a specific topic, like a career or a place we're working or the partner with, etc. We can kind of write the two voices down and notice where's the depth coming from, and from a spiritual perspective it feels like some divine guidance of like, I can't explain it, but
yeah. And you know, that's almost exactly what you know, I said to my kids when we were talking through this, and you know, that it's so subtle, it's really tricky to try and explain, which was like really frustrating for them as we were walking through this, because I said, you know, I wish I could articulate it really well for you, but the reality is that one just is, actually, I think the way I explained it to somebody once is one inside voice is very calming and very grounding, and it feels like the truth, and the other one almost amplifies the fear and the worry and the anxiety and can really get you going down rabbit holes that you don't want to go down to or, yes, or go through, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of ways this is, you know, resistance to that, because at the end of the day, it can be a little daunting, right? The things that you have to go through in order to be in this place and space, because, you know, I say to people all the time, I don't really think that as I explained it to my daughter, I don't describe spirituality as an easy walk when you are integrating it into your life fully, because it's not a linear journey. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. There are many pieces that don't make sense until years down the road when you look back and you go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Do you have any thoughts around maybe some other reasons why leaders might resist that slow unraveling or even that abrupt breakdown so strongly, even though there's something so juicy on the other side of that?
I love what you said, Charisse. I love it. I was actually just giving some guidance to somebody like in their 30s. And I say that this, I call it like my path that I'm supposed to be living, or the divinely guided path. It's like, it feels like there's a path that I'm supposed to follow if I really tune in and follow my knowing. And then, but actually just to tune into what you said, it's like, it doesn't make it easy. You know, I've done some extremely difficult things, on the face of it look courageous, but I'm following this path. Mm-hmm. And the things that get in the way are really, it's like conditioning and ego. It's like, I'm afraid. I'm worried about how it will look. I feel like a black sheep sometimes. I don't know if you have that expression, the black sheep and the white sheep. Like, there's, you know, there's like everyone's a white sheep, and there's me, a little black sheep, and I'm going in a different direction, and everyone's, you know, going off to the city to work and make their money, and I'm going off in this direction. It's like, it feels lonely and disconcerting. And so what I have to do on this path is I have to do my inner work to let go of the conditioning that I grew up with, that says, you know, whatever it says about who, what I'm, you know, society, like, work hard, make lots of money, have a big house, you know, become financially free, you know, get promoted lots. And we have to, you know, my journey's been looking at all of that and going, yeah, but why? What's this life about, and what's important to me, deeply important to me? We just have to keep doing that and letting go of the conditioned bit.
Yeah. And I think that's such an important, like, not the only thing to focus on, but certainly something that surprised me on my own journey, was how isolating it can be. How it's almost like, and this isn't about a better or worse or it's good or bad or anything like that, but just I don't think I was prepared for that. I didn't expect it. And so when I remember being faced with it in my life, I was just like, oh, well, this is not enjoyable. But thankfully, I had a coach at that time that had said, it can be a lonely journey, and that's okay. That's part of the journey. When you ask, and funnily enough, I remember saying aloud to the universe, okay, I'm ready for friends that resonate with where I am and can understand me and accept me as I am and understand that I think that who I am is a gift and will just be really okay with that. And literally a week later, new friends walked into my life. So thank you for sharing that and bringing that up, because at the end of the day, sometimes, like I said, we can mistake this journey for being in a really easy path. And I don't think it actually is at all. But you develop some really strong muscles within that. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we are going to talk about how we then begin to reframe that. So once we've begun to peel away those layers and maybe break down what was, how we shift that, frame it, and move into the transition phase, we will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone, to Sacred Leadership with Charisse, where I am joined today by Martin Palethorpe, and we are talking about when everything falls apart and the journey to really stepping into the leader that you are meant to be in this life. So right before the break, Martin and I were chatting about the beginning of what that journey can look like, that awareness, that breakdown or that collapse of what was existing before. And Martin was highlighting that it doesn't always have to be a major crisis. It doesn't have to be, a heart attack or some significant thing, that sometimes it's just an awareness that something just isn't right internally, despite all the external indicators that you are successful. So once we have that peeling away or that collapse, Martin, what I'm interested in is some guidance on, okay, well, great, now what? Now, what do I do with this now that I have an awareness that there's some work that I need to do here?
So the first thing that came to mind, Charisse, was just tuning into like some deeper questions, really. Like, what are my passions? What are my passions and what are my gifts? So what's unique about me? And what am I great at? All aspects of that, in terms of skills or knowledge or abilities or style or approach. What am I great at? And what am I deeply passionate about? And I think my own philosophy really is that when I follow what I'm passionate about, life somehow unfolds in a way that I couldn't expect. Because like with the passion comes another level of discretionary effort, comes an energy, comes a way of being that radiates out in a different way. Mm-hmm. So I think, and sometimes I ask leaders this, and they've been so busy, caught up in what they're doing, that they've lost touch with that, actually. It's like, when are they inspired? What are they excited by? What are they most passionate about? And I think that's a really simple, because sometimes it feels like this massive thing. It's like, I know I'm not in something I'm really enjoying, but it feels like a colossal move to get to somewhere else. And for me, there's a simple practice of daily really looking at what would inspire and energize me today.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you were sharing that, you know, I often find myself saying the same thing to folks, like, do what lights you up. And when I have that conversation and I ask people that question, like, what do you really enjoy? Like, what gets you just fired up? And I remember when people would ask me that question as well, and I'd be like, I don't really know. And the journey to figuring that out can sometimes be like, how do I even begin to figure that out? Something so simple, because I think sometimes we might not be fully happy in our job, but we sometimes, I think, feel like our job should be the place where that passion is played out. Do you find the same thing in your experience with the folks that you work with, that the job should be the passion?
Yes. Yeah. And I guess in many respects, people have got their work and then their personal life, and their personal life is hanging out with their family and their friends. And often they're so exhausted from the work that it's a kind of hanging out thing. And so they lose touch with actually what they're passionate about in their personal life. Mm-hmm. And I say, personal and professional, let's just tune into what has us feel alive.
Yeah.
And even if it's a work and a career that you're not excited by, there'll be elements, there'll be conversations, there'll be people, there'll be individual little situations that you can tune in and go, well, actually, I felt the energy there, I felt the excitement there. And we start to get a greater awareness of where we're excited.
Yeah. And what a great tip. You know, and I was going to go there eventually, but, because sometimes we don't even know what that looks like. You know, we get so rooted in the day-to-day and the mundane. And I think about myself in, you know, previous, iterations of my career, and it almost seems very overwhelmingly terrifying. And I remember once having a conversation with a friend where I was like, if I don't work in this particular career, which at the time completely was my passion, 100% was my passion, I literally was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have zero idea of where I would go, what I would do, and what would get me out of bed every day. And it's only over that very intentional seeking of, okay, well, this works or this doesn't work, and so on and so forth, that I was ultimately able to find that for myself. Which brings me to the question around, you know, as you're going through that transformation, and I think sometimes the idea could be that my life is going to change significantly and I'm going to have to burn it to the ground, which ultimately might bring up some fears as well. So what can transformation look like in parallel? So even though it's disruptive, it's maybe manageable disruption.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I have this expression, active unfolding. So the rational mind thinks we need to try and work it all out, you know, work out like work out where we're supposed to be or how we're supposed to live, or and it then creates this colossal gap between where we are and where we think we might want to get to. And what I experience is that it unfolds, actually. It becomes clear. It reveals itself. So we don't need to struggle with it, actually. All we need to do is to be active. And I've been taking a career break right now. I am in the middle of redesigning what I do. And I'm in the active unfolding stage, which is I'm active. I'm meeting people. I'm having conversations. I'm having some coaching. I am taking time out. I am doing things like breath work to put me in an altered state to have and asking myself questions. I'm doing a bunch of things that are active. And what's happening is, the next steps are unfolding for me without me seemingly have to do it.
And two words came to mind as you were sharing that, which I think can be sometimes very tricky to master. It's a delicate balance, I think, between patience and curiosity. So the patience of the active unfolding, right? Because there's a real... find myself talking about this a lot in the last week, but there's a real action forward movement type of energy when we are trying to figure something out or bring something into fruition. And sometimes that's not what a situation needs. Sometimes a situation needs what you're talking about, which is active unfolding, where we can be patient. We're still doing the things, coffees, networking, asking questions, and we're curious. That's where the curiosity comes in.
Yeah.
And also very, very patient within that, which I think is that delicate balance between the divine masculine and the divine feminine. How do we begin to get people to understand that they dance in harmony together? Or sorry, not understand, but begin to do that dance between the divine masculine and the divine feminine that is necessary to kind of just go with the flow.
Wonderful, wonderful reflection and question. And the other way I see it, I've been fairly influenced by the Gene Keys, Richard Rudd's work, if you've come across it. And one of the Gene Keys is about the journey from impatience to patience to timelessness. And he talks about life. There's a natural rhythm to life, all of life. So let's look at nature for our learning and our example. The tree is not trying to grow really fast. It's evolving and growing naturally at the speed that nature has it grow. Fortunately, the tree doesn't have a rational mind, because the rational mind would be going, right, well, how much can I grow this year?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not doing that. And actually, we as nature is like, we've got this natural rhythm, this natural unfolding where things become clear. And so for me, the patience becomes trusting that there's a natural unfolding. And if I'm stuck at the moment, perhaps I'm supposed to be stuck, and there'll be a natural cycle when I become unstuck.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it seems maybe obvious to liken this to seasons for those of us who have four very marked seasons, but that is really life, right?
Yeah.
You know, hibernation and then life budding and, you know, full bloom and then dying or going to sleep, whatever the case may be. And, you know, I think it's just such a natural, as you say, cycle to what this journey looks like. And when you choose to intentionally engage with the journey, it's the awareness that there's going to be many of those cycles, right?
Yeah.
And it's the culmination of those that ultimately create this massive transformation. When I look at myself, I am not at all the same person today that I was even 3 years ago. And I too used to sit in that, it's not going fast enough, I'm not seeing enough change, let me hurry up and get there. And people would say to me, like, what's your rush? I'm like, I got a lot to do in this life. I know I do. And I feel very behind. And so, you know, it's funny, because this morning as I was journaling, that was actually one of the things that I'd written, which was, I find myself in this new place of peace that has even taken me adjusting. You know, because it's like, it always felt like there was so much chaos and turmoil. And now there's this, I don't want to call it a lull, but it's this silence, this peace. And I remember when I was starting to become aware of it. And I would be talking to my coaches and being like, I don't know, I just feel like there's something right around the corner, because that's life. There's something around the corner that's going to come. And it's so subtle, and I'm really just trying to sit in it and enjoy it. We're going to go to our next break here in just a moment. But when we come back, I'd love to have you share a little bit maybe around, you talked about breath work, the gene keys. Is that G-E-N-E?
Yes.
Okay. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. So maybe some somatic practices that you can share and what that might look like as we begin to walk this journey a little bit more about slowing down and intentionally engaging with this journey. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back again to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I'm joined by Martin Palethorpe, and we are chatting about, when everything falls apart. So thank you again, Martin, for joining us. And right before the break, you were chatting about the gene keys, which I actually have not ever heard of. And I was hoping that you could share a little bit more about the gene keys and what exactly that is.
So the gene keys is a really profound text and a profile, actually. It's based upon our astrological information. It's a text written by a chap called Richard Rudd, who basically for decades studied esoteric wisdom. He studied the I Ching and human design and all sorts of ancient wisdom. And then this book came through him, almost like a transmission from him. It's a really profound text that is non-religious but deeply spiritual. And the essence of it is that there are 64 gene keys. And each gene key, some of the gene keys are unique to us in a certain positions in certain parts of our lives. And each gene key has a shadow side to it, like a core wound that we need to look at and evolve beyond. It then has a gift, and in the most enlightened expression of the gene key, it has a siddhi. So the contemplation of each chapter in this book, is reading about the shadow, how we release ourselves from the shadow to access the gift and the siddhi and live a more enlightened life, fundamentally. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so if I can give you an example of those, there's a couple of them that are in my profile that I love to read. One is the shadow is impatience. So I've grown up in this busy society, needing to get somewhere and feeling edgy when I'm not there, or someone's taking too long to do something, and so on. So the the journey is contemplating the journey from impatience to patience, and the city is timelessness. It's like, how do we fundamentally shift our relationship to time? And that's a profound exploration. Yeah. And the other one that I'll share is the shadow is complexity, and the gift is simplicity, and the city is quintessence. Mm-hmm. And so this has been really powerful for me in my life, is like, how do I, and I see this so significantly in our society, is like, people are making life too complicated. Mm-hmm. Their weekends are too busy managing stuff or buying stuff or sorting out stuff. Their garden's too large and they need to manage it, or, you know, and we sort of, as I had done, is like accumulate lots of stuff in life and then find ourselves with complexity. Mm-hmm. And actually, for me, a key part of this, of sacred leadership, is to make life simple in the material world. Mm-hmm. So I have more space for peace, calm, clarity, enjoyment, making a difference.
Yeah. So in some ways then, and thank you for introducing that, because, you know, when we talk about shadow work, and I've been talking about this more of late, and it's interesting how my own perspective, and I recall now even witnessing within myself the resistance to even that word, right? So like, yeah. Shadow work. I just want to live in the light all day, every day. But the shift for myself has been the awareness that the juiciness is really actually in the shadow work, and that it doesn't have to be, it's really an opportunity more than anything else. So when we overlay what you're talking about here with the gene keys, because as you were sharing that, I was thinking about, okay, well, I recently had, or I guess it was last year, a full birth chart analysis done. And what highlighted, what came to light in that was like, I think my Chiron is in Taurus. So I imagine that the gene key goes really, really deep into all of the different shadow aspects, we'll say, of your birth chart is what it sounds like realistically. I don't want to simplify it, but that's really what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's another way of looking at that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. You talked a little bit about the breath work that you do and maybe some more somatic practices to help you really be in tune with when you might be off course. Do you feel like when was the awareness maybe that something is off, that's maybe not fully conscious in your mind, but it is certainly showing itself in your body? If that was an experience for you.
So that's a good question, because as a man, I think it's being a man, but also like I'm quite mental in my journey. It's been quite mental. And so sometimes somatically I don't pick it up. Mm-hmm. But I like when I do, it's a feeling in my being, or it's a feeling in my gut that something's off. Mm-hmm. And how I use certain practices to help me get out of the mind, actually, because sometimes I can be going around something and struggling with it in the mind. And if I do something like breath work, I mean, there's a whole bunch of practices nowadays that help us get out of our own minds. You know, breath work, for example, dance, there's a massive field of different type of dancing mm-hmm. now to get us to move our bodies. And when we move our bodies, we get out of our head. Meditation is another one, or perhaps active meditation. Plant medicine, psychedelics, you know, is another example of mm-hmm. like all of these are sort of different modalities in some ways to help us see things differently.
Yeah.
And shift the way that we think or experience life.
Yeah. And you're right. There are so many more modalities today that allow you to pull yourself out of your mind and be more in your body. From your experience, or what you've worked with or observed, what tends to happen when someone is disconnected from themselves, their body, or, you know, their higher self, etc., for far too long?
One common one is I notice how ill people get, how often people are going down with something. Mm. You know, they're always ill, and they don't even realize that, or like, they shouldn't always be ill. I mean, I'm like, if I'm ill, I'm like, it's unusual. Mm-hmm. Whereas I've got certain clients that they're avoiding the message. Often they're working too hard, mm-hmm. and they're ill again. And it's okay, it's just a cold, or, you know, it's just like, I'll be fine in a few days, without looking and going, my body's telling me something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like we have normalized it.
Yeah.
And realistically speaking, I was actually saying to somebody yesterday, I said, you know, it's a surefire way to get your attention. If you're somebody who enjoys really great health and doesn't get sick very often or have aches and pains. And one thing I hear a lot lately is, you know, people saying like, oh, we're getting older. And I'm like, no, I reject that.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. It's like,
absolutely.
You know, we live in these sort of belief systems that are really just a story, a narrative from the mind that has a, you know, it's like, we can get younger and younger and feel more and more alive and feel more and more energy as we understand ourselves and live aligned to who we really are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those who know me know I say I'm living to 105. I know it.
I'll be with you. Yeah, I'll be there with you.
Absolutely. And I remember when my mom was trying to give me evidence that was contrary to that. And I very plainly said, that is a story that you choose to believe, and that's very okay, but that's not my story. I do not believe that. I clearly reject that. And so I really try to pay attention to all the many ways that our body speaks to us, to let me know when things are not quite right, and encourage people around me to honestly do the exact same thing and tune in and pay attention, because your body's always listening. And as you rightly said, or maybe not rightly said, but observed, you said at the very beginning of this somatic discussion, men sometimes have a trickier time with that. Why do you think that is?
Oh, goodness me, there's a question. I think, like, you know, I'm doing a lot of reflection at the moment on the world at large and the patriarchy. And, you know, and I'm a man. And I'm a man. I've grown up in that patriarchy, doing things like the patriarchy is a masculine construct. It's all about achievement and drive and thinking things through and task and less emotion and all of this. And actually, that's why, is because I'm a man, and I've been trained in the old male system that doesn't work, that needs to collapse.
That's a very succinct way of saying it. And so I imagine, you know, I find myself in this conversation. As I look back now, it was probably years ago. Actually, it was years ago. And I was sitting with my son, and he was telling me about men's issues. And I remember my response in that moment, and it wasn't well received by my son. And it was simply just saying, like, you know, it's been a very patriarchal environment for a very, very long time. And that it's very difficult for women to have compassion for that, because it's been so heavy on one side for so long. And he said to me, I have three sons, he said, you know, it feels like you don't care about my issues. And for someone who is our mother, I would think that you would want to engage more and understand that more. And interestingly enough, it sent me down the rabbit hole of, well, I do want to understand. I don't want to be dismissive. I do want to understand what you're saying, what you're feeling, so that I can engage with this in a very beneficial way. And the point that I'm trying to make is, it feels like right now that many men are struggling with, even if they don't know it, but there's this shift that's starting to take over, starting to gain some momentum. And what I think that it is that simply there just aren't the tools. It's almost like what it feels like when you're collapsing an identity and trying to figure out what's next. How do we begin to reconcile? So what did I say at one point? The gentle dance between divine masculine and divine feminine, which exists within all of us. How do we begin to help folks understand that it already exists within both, in all of us? It's a dance. It's not one or the other, but you need both in order to generally find peace, I suppose, on this journey.
I think it's a really marvelous question, and it's why I'm taking a bit of a break in my work at the moment, is because I'm looking at what's going on in our society and in humanity, and I'm being called to do something more aligned with supporting the shift in consciousness and the shift in humanity. And some of that links into this very part here is like I'm a man of privilege in this system, and who do I need to be in this world at this time, and what do I need to let go of? And for me as a man, sometimes I will use the language you're using, which is like the divine feminine for me. Well, actually, for me, it's mainly about the divine masculine. It's like, what does that mean? And that means to be a man in a new way, in a new world. That means about being open-hearted, heart-led, loving, soft, emotional, caring, loving, which you might call the divine feminine aspect, really. But for me, actually, this is part of being a man now in this world. And how do I let go of the old ways that I was a man, that actually was part of the system that's not helpful to me or to humanity? And then I also see is like, how do I play a role in this world in the support of women taking their place? Because actually, I'm not responsible for the patriarchy, but actually I feel like in some ways as a mature man, I have got an opportunity here to shift and support women on their journey because we as a society need women to flourish, to rebalance how life is working.
Yeah. I definitely want to continue this train of thought, talking about that balance and how important it is. We have our break coming up, and when we come back, we will chat a little bit more about what leadership can look like and balancing those two energies and what it actually really means. Because I think there's a little bit of confusion when people hear me say things like divine masculine and divine feminine and what that actually looks like in a very practical sense. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Thank you again for joining myself, Charisse Alexander, here on the Inspired Choices Network, Sacred Leadership with Charisse, where I'm joined today by Martin Palethorpe. If you've been enjoying today's show, please give me a 5-star review on iTunes or your platform of choice. I would be beyond grateful, and this will assist in getting the information out there to those that need it. Right before we went to break, Martin and I were touching upon my favorite topic, it seems, these days, which is divine masculine and divine feminine ideal. Well, energies and how that plays out when it comes to leadership and how we can support this transition that is going on at this particular point in time. And I feel like there's often a little bit of confusion on what that actually means. And Martin, you were just doing a really great job of sharing, like, what does that mean for you? And I think that you were saying, it's just a shift in how you maybe, actually, let me not talk for you. What does that look like for you, balancing those two things?
Great. Thank you. Great question. I think it impacts my being and it impacts my doing. And so in my personal journey, like, I've become softer. So the essence of who I show up to be is softer and calmer, and it's a mixture of those two things. But it's who I radiate out to be in the world is step number one. Step number two in this is then what I do differently. And so with the feminine qualities, it will be I care more. I'll check on people more. I'll support people more. I'll think for them, etc. I'll be more gentle, perhaps. If I'm not gentle, I'll pick it up and I'll notice it and I'll pick up after that. So there's a being and a doing that is very present for me as you're sharing that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's often the way that the way I've described it to folks is, you know, the masculine side of that is that we need that in the world, right? And I think that maybe part of the challenges is that men might be feeling like we're trying to eradicate that, or that's what the transition means. But the reality is you need that energy because it's what gets things done. It's beginning to invite in that softer energy that you talked about, the being energy, which is, you know, you used words today that are definitely in alignment with things like patience, active unfolding, which in my mind is like that integration of that. You're still doing things, but you're being very patient as those things happen and unfold around you, and the creative energy of that, right? So as I likened it to somebody recently, I said, you know, I might get an idea, a download, an intuitive hit, and I might do something with it in the moment, but I've also learned how to put a pin in it and let things unfold so I can see what happens, who comes into my experiences, what events unfold before I need to actually go somewhere and do something with it. And to me, that's a really how I like to show up with the dance of this divine masculine and divine feminine.
Shall I comment on that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, great. I'm very aligned with you, Charisse. The thing about the action that I was reflecting on, so of course there's a need for action and the right action, of course. Mm-hmm. And is the action, where's the action coming from? Is it underpinned with insecurity or fear?
Yeah.
Is it, or competitiveness? Is it underpinned by conditioning? We've always done it that way, so we need to do it that fast. Or
yes,
it's like, is there intelligence underneath the action, or actually are we just playing something out that's unhelpful? Mm-hmm. Often with action in organizations, often there's fear that's generated. It's like, we've got to get to somewhere fast, we've got to get there, and so everyone starts rushing around doing as they're told, and they lose their own discernment.
Yeah.
And they've got fear and stress inside them. And so the question is that action going to, is it going to serve? And it may serve once, but then in the long term, it may not serve either. So we need to really look at that. And I think there's action, there's a different type of action coming in the world today that is more grounded, calmer, clearer, and more collaboratively motivated and energized.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Martin, for joining me today. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, the work that you're doing, and how you are helping the collective with your journey. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will share all your details here on Sacred Leadership with Sheree. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheree.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Sheree returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.